Indicated that you are attending the small business meeting, but it's on Zoom.
Thank you very much. So then I imagine that that is all of us, is that right? Good. Can we have somebody propose adoption of the agenda? I'm able to do that. Thank you to the Honourable Dean MacPherson, seconded by the Honourable Mark Rush. We can then immediately begin to talk of the documents that have made some changes. When is the IT person coming and then how effectively is he dealing with it? Because nothing's changing. We wouldn't have the names of people here. Right. What you will have in front of you, I'm sure the committee secretary will show you what you would have in front of you. What's that, Mr. Herman?
Members would have a copy of the action report that was distributed, a copy of amendments which have been read from the chairperson and the ASC. Another document which you can see in number 10 is the concluding comment from the African National Congress as well, as well as concluding an information for consideration from the Democratic Alliance. We have not received any comments from the Minister from Trust nor from the Economic Freedom.
The only thing is what we have done is factor in some of the points that have already been stated publicly on record. Okay? But some of them may need to be expanded upon because quite clearly there was insufficient information recorded here. But if one looks to the intro, right, you will see you've also had this handed out. We didn't want to delay any longer the document. So what we've done is what you see in red here on page one, have come to one, and I have made some changes with it from the ANC itself. I'm sure everyone can see all the red, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, the black that you have in front of you was what was initially prepared by the Secretariat in terms of the intro, etc. Okay, so just so that you know what we're talking about, what. Everyone on the same page. Right, now we're going to start with the red. Two pages. One is red, one is black. Page one and page two. We're also at the same time, can I have a copy of the DA's material? We're waiting, I'd like to welcome the Group Chief Operating Officer from the DTI, under whom the budget specifically comes. Is that correct, Ms. Scott?
Chair, the budget is under the CFO, but so he looks at the financials and I look at the performance.
Yes. And as a senior person here from DTI, she will be
now, for those members who have been a part of the call, and at this time, you may well have come across several members, in fact, two rows of members from the DTI. You may wonder, what's happened? Well, all of you will remember who were here in the previous term, that at that time, the Minister of Finance made it clear
that costs will be cut in every department. Cars will be cut down to particular standards, and the travel will be cut dramatically, quite radically. So that sending down an army or platoon of people from a department is no longer affordable by government. So now we get a lot fewer people. I hope that that's quite clear. So they are in line with the decision passed last term. They are now respecting that. Most of the departments are respecting that in its entirety. And that's the reason you see two people here. There may on occasions be up to four or perhaps six, but not on this occasion. Thank you. So now that we have, by the way, is this Mr. Rene? Mr. Rene? In front of you as well. What it reads here is 20 years of democratic transition. By the way, as soon as you don't agree with something at the end of the paragraph, raise your hand. Not word for word, but at the end of the paragraph. 20 years of democratic transition calls for bold and decisive steps to place the economy on a qualitatively different path that eliminates poverty and unemployment, creates sustainable livelihoods, and substantially reduces inequality. It also calls for radical economic transformation. I don't see a hand yet. Given this position, then it is imperative that the following objectives are pursued. Accelerate economic growth along an inclusive and sustainable path. Achieve significantly higher levels of employment creation and decent wealth. Bullet three, reduce inequality substantially. Bullet four, ensure meaningful black participation in the ownership, control, and management of the economy. Roll back monopoly practices and uncompetitive behavior and advance black industrialists. Right, no hands. Third paragraph. It is in this context the budget bill 36 of the Department of Trade and Industry seeks to address the structural challenges of the economy and through its appropriation address primary and secondary challenges which are constraining growth.
Can't you make reflections once you're done with this particular rule? Must comment on each and every paragraph.
No. Obviously, there may be a paragraph which is such a red flag, if I can put it that way, that you feel obliged to comment, you know. But, of course, afterwards you may. If you have a proposal, please go ahead. But other than that, the idea is to get to the end of the introduction, if you want to put it that way, and then move on and see if there are any comments, to move on to the next section, any comments, and then at the end, it doesn't prevent further comments.
Yeah, comment at the end, sure.
I think that's helpful.
The absolute red flags to a board, please put your hands up. DTI's budget is informed by the urgency of sustainable and skilled job creation, the fight against poverty, and the need to accelerate broad-based black economic empowerment, with sharper incentives to grow a more diversified and productive economy, centered on the, in the main on the productive sectors of our economy. The 9.8 billion DTR budget reveals a fresh commitment to ramp up industrialization. and harnessing strategic trade that underpins industrial development. This the committee believes. Of course, when I say this the committee believes, always remember, one has put this in listening, but, and then you'll have, you know, you can object now and say, no, don't know where you got that from, never came out of here. So, this the committee believes is its greatest contribution towards recapturing policy space to implementing a radical transformation of economies. Three key issues that the SONA raises that relate directly to the BTR's mandate are the need for higher investment and industrial development, broadening participation, especially by Black, South African, and women in the economy, and we then go back to your larger document, which you've got in front of you. Unfortunately, this screen of mine isn't working that well. It's a little bit difficult. But I'll come on here. These three key issues are so hard. The need for that and that. Strengthening the country's economic and investment ties with other regions, and specifically African countries through regional integration. In line with the priorities expressed during SONA, the DTI is implementing an IPAP 2 with the 2014-15 sixth iteration, seen as a vehicle to accelerate economic transformation through the reindustrialization of the economy. Well, by the time anyone says that, they've gone to sleep. Just the grammar, I think, we'll clean it up. The IPAP 2 recognized the achievements of the past, but has acknowledged the results have been uneven, and much remains to be done to develop greater traction around many IPAP interventions. The deliberate set of policy interventions, such as government procurement and beneficiation of mineral resources, is needed to unlock the economic potential of all sectors in support of industrialization. The committee agreed with this, but noted that serious challenges remain around coordination between the three spheres of government, as well as the active national departmental commitment to localization and procurement. Furthermore, the decentralization of productive activities which build local economies should be accelerated and expanded. An example in the previous financial year is the small mill established in CCSM. We need to put a name here. I think it was the Kabusa or whatever. We need it run. We need that name. Yes, Honourable
Hill Lewis. Just in the sentence above that, the challenges are not only around coordination between the three spheres of government. Mm-hmm. There's also a significant challenge around coordination within the national sphere of government, between the different departments. And so I think we just have both those coordination problems.
Yes, it was noted in the last meeting, and let's put it here. Okay, are you noting that? Honourable
Matali.
No, Chair,
I was just saying that probably it might be appropriate that we should at least use more than one example, because, you know, it's about the country. Mm-hmm. It's not about one province. So if we can, we don't have to put men, but at least Let's have a national perspective on our approach.
That's one that I visited personally with a couple of ministers. But are there any others?
Examples. I know that in a small scale by milling, there's been another that's been rolled up. But if we can also get other examples to substantiate the point.
I know small scaling, decentralization, there being three mills as far as I know. But I think what Uncle Clark is saying, we ought to get beyond living.
is there anything else on the phone?
There's nothing. Just a little for policy and stuff from AZN. You know, you might have the Western Cape or one that's uploaded. That's the initial protection. We are not the top.
Thank you, Chair. I think we can also look at some of the successes in the clothing textile sector. We've made some inroads in the autos and the business process services as well. So those are the unintended foods to the city.
The issue here is the decentralization, so that you create jobs in that local area. Okay, thanks.
Sorry, sir.
Yes. Sorry, I'm wrong here.
Thank you. You can only create... you can only decentralize if there are if there's infrastructure to support that decentralization. You can't just go stick a factory in a field if there's nothing around to support the economic development. And that, I think, is one of the greatest challenges for DCI, specifically around IDZs and SEZs, is that we support economic growth, but with the engagement of local governments and provincial governments to ensure that there is adequate infrastructure development. Because what we don't want to see is to give people opportunities only to set them up for failure because there is no supporting infrastructure.
Well, I think what needs to happen is a little, while you're busy chatting like that, was the first time in this committee, and I'm sure the colleague will tell you, when people do talk, we like them to put pen to paper as well. So, just during this, be very helpful,
okay. But
at the same time, we're going to ask myself to also put a head around that one. I think it's an important point, like the, give us a few more examples. It makes the point that supportive infrastructure was also a challenge. Can be. It is a challenge in all the decentralization. As a matter of fact, there's plenty of opportunity for decentralization without that. But it hasn't been done. Honourable
Mathieu. Chair, can I just put the just as we go, maybe something that's helpful for Mr. Hermans is as we think of something or as we want to make one or two changes, we can email them to him immediately if we have the ability to do so.
No problem in that, because we still give $4.4 billion
in incentives. Promote industrialization should be strategically employed to ensure that allocated financial resources support sustainable and productive economic development. Manufacturing competitiveness enhancement program, clothing, mentioning this, the automobile, etc., and the 12i tax rebate support private sector import supports with an S. Private sector investment in the manufacturing sector to maintain and create jobs, as well as upstream and downstream linkages. However, the committee believes the challenges facing the manufacturing sector, including the cost and reliable supply of energy and high admin prices, particularly in the transport sector, may disincentivize value addition activities within the economy. The industrial development program is supported by the incentives below. Of a total allocation of $9.8 billion, etc., about 23% or $2.3 billion is allocated to support broadening participation incentives, whilst about 45% or $4.4 billion supports industrial development incentives. Metal beneficiation is an important vehicle to diversify the economy. Government recognizes the importance of beneficiation. Therefore, it has introduced tools such as the special economic zones and minerals and Petroleum Resources Development Act, No. 28 of 2002. Incentives relating to beneficiation will be developed in this regard. Yeah, it's not clear that the department is making that statement. I think it should be clearer. You know, that's the department, isn't it? Isn't it? No. The DTI is continuing to advance, yes, Honourable Shivambu.
on this red one,
now
right?
Page one.
Page 15.
We haven't logged
in. All right, I'm going to have the two pages on.
Well, you should have the whole thing as well, which was emailed and
on copy. I'm what? And where is it going to be on MTRB? I don't know. You should be
page two.
Okay, that's what you got. So this is 15. You want to get on the shop.
Sorry, that only put together there are two pages. Right. Is that captured that point? I can't see what's being done here behind me. Have we indicated that that was the position of the department, or the department had indicated that? Have we indicated that in the building? Right. The DTI is continuing. To advance trade and economic integration into Africa. This is informed by South Africa's development trade policy that seeks to align trade measures and tariffs to our industrial policy objectives. Negotiations around the Economic Partnership Agreement, EPA, have been concluded, which allows for greater harmonization with the South African Customs Union and improvement on the trade and the TDCA between South Africa and the EU. South Africa is championing regional integration through SACU. Not through that, just through SACU. And the Southern African Development Community, as well as the tripartite free trade area, which includes SADC, the EAC, the Common Market, Eastern and Southern Africa, CAMASA, and the East African Community. The budget allocation reflects expenditure and we haven't got that little bit extra. The budget allocation reflects expenditure on negotiation. The committee's opinion is paving the way to regional integration which underpins intra-African trade. And I think you see that is related to a point under the conclusion. And although we don't want to repeat the conclusion, when we start putting something into the conclusion, there needs to be a close relationship so we may be able to consider a sentence which would provide that link along the lines of in the medium term, an increase in the allocation may have to be considered, or the current allocation does not appear to be sufficient in the medium term. I think that's far better. I'll tell you why. Do you know what percentage is for that? I'm sure some of you have checked the pie chart. Percentage is not 1%. Not 1% for all of that. So we're saying, what did we say then? I hope you're listening. And it does not appears to be sufficient over the medium term. We're not saying we must do anything, but this is here. Then we'll come to the conclusion. You see, we will take a position. Have you got that, Ms. Early? Right. The consideration of the budget vote offers the committee an opportunity to assess how effectively the DTI strategic plan contributes to the outcomes expressed in the National Development Plan. Configuration of 2014-15 budget that is should contribute towards the achievement of such a radical economic transformation agenda. Therefore, the consideration of the budget provides the committee with an important opportunity to assess whether the budget is adequate to achieve government's policy of accelerated inclusive industrialization to ensure that the growth potential of the economy is unlocked. The establishment of the Ministry of Small Business. We really pointed out that those are facts.
Also.
We
clearly pointed out that when it comes to the establishment of a small business development, that's an executive presidential decision, and it can come out, if you like, a say a complete to an extent that it's in the budget now going to be, of course, so those are the facts. The constitutional mandate, you have the constitution, everyone has that now, you can check that there. That's another factual fact from there. The purpose is to report on its consideration of the DTI strategic plan and its associated budget vote 36. Furthermore, to make recommendations regarding the approval, amendment, or rejection of the budget vote, and any other recommendation regarding the implementation of the DTI strategic plan. Given that the strategic plan is the narrative of action for the figure, for the numerical budget. The process is there when it was revised yet again, so we refer to that on the 5th of 2014. What it covers, due to the recent announcement of the establishment of a new Ministry on Small Business Development, the newly established Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development was also in attendance. That's another fact. During this engagement, budget was unpacked against those issues, the priorities, the post-election persona, and the economic climate. This required the committee to evaluate the alignment of incentives and other instruments on industrial. We said earlier, and I'm saying this again, of industrial and trade policy objectives. It's trade and industry. Industrial and trade. To ensure that they stated objectives are met. Key issue of the SONA that relates to the DTI mandate. Now there are highlights or extractions from the SONA. That's why it's in inverted commas, linked to DTI strategic objectives. Facilitate the transformation, etc., the broad-based economic empowerment, and building mutually beneficial and global relations to advance South Africa's trade and industrial policy and economic development objectives. The President also highlighted low level of private sector investment, and I think the issue is, do we say inadequate or reliable? The President also highlighted low level of private sector investment and energy supply constraints. I'm putting that to us here because the thing is that it's not simply an inadequate energy supply, but it's an interrupted energy supply. So you can have a great deal of supply, but if the water is turned off, there's no supply. You have a river available. So I think the point is just have to clean that up there. The DTI, and I know there are a lot of people on the committee who have, the DTI is committed to the development of an enabling environment to create decent work. Therefore, the DTI has identified a number of policy tools, such as promoting local procurement. Honourable Mantash?
I want to suggest that we add there's an addition there after the energy supply key constraints economic growth, which of and we propose to say we welcome the interministerial team established to deal with the challenges to the current energy supply. That the energy supply poses to the economic growth. That's it.
No.
Okay. to do the current to deal with the problems that the current electricity supply poses to the economic growth.
ITAP is government program. The ITAP remains the principal program of the DTI's work.
There's something wrong with
English
there.
Yeah. The most informed committee, although ITAP is the most informed committee, that ITAP, which is a government program, would you?
I agree there is some problem there, but I just think you can take out that it's a government program. I mean, that's implicit, obviously, the government program. The Ministry informed the committee that ITAP remains the principal program that GTI's work.
Which requires the acceleration of industrialization through a variety of various policy interventions, such as government procurement and bank association. This would unlock the economic potential of both the private and the public sector in support of industrialization. Any presentation, the committee highlighted the importance of industrial development to strengthen the economy, which would require trade-offs in favor of the productive sector of the economy. Honorable Nkongi promised to give us those notes that he made. Where are they? Do you remember? We're supposed to chat, which you and Mr. Harster had organized. Where is it? Surely, I mean, it shouldn't be an Aladdin cave issue. I'm not rubbing any luck. Mr. Harster, can I have that sheet? I don't think you were at the meeting, probably, where he offered to give the paper.
No, I'm saying he doesn't seem to be understanding what he expected.
Well, we'll have to leave it. We can't delay, you know. So, offered to me, and I said I will raise it here, but if I haven't got it, I can't raise it, can I? No. Can't raise it. There we are, we'll move on. But I would suggest, Honourable Corporal, that you get furthermore, the higher levels of value addition, where are we now? Yes. This was premised on argument that the manufacturing sector had the highest levels of value addition, let me call that, has the highest economic and employment multiplier of any sector. And as I said to staff, that we want to have a footnote on multipliers, because not everyone who reads this in the House
has benefit of your economic background. Right. So that now has not yet been affected. Furthermore, the higher levels of value addition and moving up the value chain are expected to generate higher income levels and wealth. He informed the committee that in a recent report by KPMG Africa's written, we've had this before, the minister argued that jobs are currently being created in the developed economies based on the primary resources of developing economies, such as South Africa. He acknowledged that while many jobs are not created within the manufacturing sector, this sector has strong upstream and downstream multipliers. You can see now why that understanding by everyone would be important, the word multiplier. Therefore, South Africa has moved up the value chain to create more jobs and generate more inclusive growth opportunities. The minister acknowledged that South Africa is not yet to find place on a new growth path driven by the productive sectors of the economy. His view was that the next phase of industrial development must see more radical measures to involve stock creation, production of poverty and inequality, calls for upskilled and accelerated reindustrialization of the economy using infrastructure investment and localization and beneficiation as key instruments. However, he acknowledges that the current hostile global economic environment could contribute in a delay to a delay in achieving higher value addition and continued industrial development. In addition, the country's energy constraints were a key impediment in the upscaling of industrial policy, and work was being prioritized to meet the manufacturing sector's need for adequate supply of reasonably priced electricity. So again, to the upscaling there, you heard him. In the next paragraph about the trade policy, the negotiations, and he pointed to South Africa's trade with new EU has moved from a surplus in 2008 to a deficit in 2012. The minister informed the committee that the division dealing with small business and cooperatives, again, small business, in order to ensure the alignment of ETI programs to government-wide priorities, etc., the department identified key strategic outcomes of these are two. Got that? Again, the next one. Again, the third. Again, the fourth. And again, the fifth. Why I say that is I've read this already, but in a very short version, probably page one or two or three, where it just came a reference. Overview of the department's 2014-2015 budget. You've been studying these, I'm sure, from the review as well, and what the figures are. From an increase, 9.5 billion to 9.8, but in real terms, a decrease of 2.68. And you get the bar chart there, showing both the nominal and inflation adjusted. We then move to page 8, where we have the real decrease. The focus there, where are these real decreases? What has been decreased significantly? Administration, broadening participation, the incentive of development in administration, international trade and economic development. However, the Trade and Investment South Africa program, Industrial Development program, and Consumer and Corporate Regulation program budget, which increased by 5.4, 468, 1.9. So you see, Trade and Investment got a boost, CPR got a boost, and the Industrial Development. And you see that yourself in the matrix. The largest, on your matrix.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I'm not too sure whether now is the appropriate time where we can discuss the actual figures that have been tabled here and the decreases, or whether you want to do that once the whole document is done. Okay. Cool.
Are you talking
about table 2? Yes. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Chair, you know, it's one thing to decrease budgets, you know, just for the sake of it and saving money. And then it's also another thing to do it if you're looking to streamline the operations of a particular department. But we need to ensure that money is then reinvested into practice and working departments. And I'm concerned at the very real nominal amount of 1.92% to the consumer and corporate regulatory bodies. These bodies are expected to do a large amount of work, but they receive new mandates on a continuous basis. Yet their budget allocations are just simply not able to meet up with where they are now, and notwithstanding the increased work that is expected of them, particularly that of the NRCS, which have now got a further mandate, but is receiving a couple pennies more to do their work. I'm also interested in the Trade and Investment South African budget. It would seem that they actually get one of the bigger increases in a percentage terms in that table, but the international missions are actually receiving a decrease in the budget. So it would seem that the increase in the budget that they've received is actually more on staff and less on work that they are supposed to. And that's concerning, because you know, if we're going to do more work, we need more staff. We can't be doing less work and having more staff. That doesn't make sense to me. In fact, if anything, we should be targeting our international missions and giving them increased budget and increased staff, not the other way around. So I'd like to lay that concern out of table 2 on the table for your consideration.
Let me just, although I'm looking at this input as well, you know, from the VA, I can't have a real nominal. A real nominal. It's either real or it's nominal. So I regard that more as a slip of the tongue.
Sure.
Because that's not what the written one says. So when I looked at the written one here, you're talking of, you don't mention real or nominal in the actual written one.
We only refer to real.
Yes, but I'm saying the statement verbally was nominal, and I'm saying I regard that as a bluff of the tongue. But on here, we talk about the division's allocation is only increasing, just in a simple comment, by 1.92, as a deep problem, etc., etc. And you've expanded on the position. Now, I think we will ask comment as the DGI through response to comment, but at the same time, if we were to look at that, which is the corporate, consumer corporate regulation division per se, I'm not sure if your comment on more staff, less work applied to them, or whether it applied rather to trade and investment, because you linked the two. Now, when I look here, I'm separating them, you follow, as you've done here. Now, with respect to your point 3, would you then say that there is more staff and less work there? You know the comments you made when you put two together. So I just want to get that clear, so then we go on to the trade and investment. It does.
So what's the actual one I'm looking at?
Sure.
If you give me that straight comment, is only increasing. In other words, the increase is very small, insignificant. But I want to hear what else you were saying. Clearly, not on those, on that one.
On point 3? On point 3, Chair, what we're saying is that the consumer and regulatory bodies, the work that they have to do is increasing, and they'll be giving further mandates to do their work, but the percentage or the funds that are being allocated to them, in my opinion, are not sufficient. That That was my position on them. That is a different position to Trade Investment South Africa.
Right, that's something. Just need to change the moment. Let's go. Then I'll give you some information about it. It's also a service called CRPD, but, you know, we're looking at current information.
So, thank you, Chair. I think just to shed light on the sort of overall budget, we've been given information from National Treasury that we have to work within the existing budget. And so I think the only increases that our budget for would be for staff as a sort of nominal, normal cost of living increases. There were a number of requests that put through. I think the portfolio committee also had requests for the NCC, ECIC, I think ECIC was recapitalization on a particular fund. But the National Treasury came back and said that there's no funds available for recapitalization. So we are constrained. But then I think also with the trade investment budget, the total amount for that program has stayed the same. We've had to reshuffle money to assist ECIC. So the baseline has, the total budget has stayed the same. And just the 6.8, I think another 1.7% has been taken on another part of trade investment and has gone to the EBIC.
The position of the committee, which was alluded to just then, the committee had requested an increase from the allocation. I mean you'll do it there in the previous committee, will confirm that. Because indeed, the work is expanding. However, we were also given an element of assurance, I use the word element of assurance, that previously, and again, I think your colleague will confirm, there was a great element of inefficiency for 2 years last year. Really, I mean, AG's reports in particular will attest to that. So if you're running any kind of unit inefficiently, and you decide to run it efficiently, you're really going to make some savings, you know, apart from anything else. Now that was a very important factor in that regard, okay? So notwithstanding that position, we did believe that it should be, more funds should be considered for that entity. But the question that then comes to, the issue that comes to the committee is this. We want CCR division to have the increase of funds, you hear what I'm saying? Or do you want something else to? You know, there's just so much money, where are you going to put the extra? So it becomes back to prioritization. Which one are you going to prioritize? You may still say, something to base us on saying, this unit, the first and second half years should be reviewed. We can still say that. But can we flag it there? That one. Let's go to trade and investment. Kita. As was referred to there as well, there was a whole issue. We actually requested a support for recapitalization. Again, remember? Now, the department can do that. But the final analysis, the Treasury will look at the whole cake, the whole bag of funds, say, not enough money. We can't give this to you because we only want. You know that kind of thing. And clearly that decision was also taken. So there was a position adopted by the committee that this should be reviewed for an increase. There was that position. It was not the expected. But we've also been reassured, and as it may well not be reassuring to yourself, that international relations, one of the comments that gave rise to that increase, would have a member of the committee at that stage felt very strongly and expressed it very strongly that in our overseas mission, people there can't help you when you go on an economic issue or a trade issue, etc. And that if they can't get money, at least can we ensure that the deployed people, probably from international relations, have got that information. And we're then given an assurance that that issue would be taken into account.
And I can only say I'm not aware if that has been implemented or not, because we haven't heard an adverse comment yet since that statement was made. When was the statement made? It was made late last year. So we haven't had the annual report to see whether or not this is the case. So I certainly don't want to ask DTI, because they get a very positive response, and we're saying we want to see information. We actually want to see the implementation. Right now, we don't have that information. When we're going to get it will be in a statistical review, a reserve bank, or and the annual report of DTI and an engagement with them. I don't know if that helps. Yes, Honourable Hilder?
Perhaps just to add, the reason I don't really find that satisfying is that the precise sub-program which deals with our presence at foreign missions is the international operations sub-program. That is the one that is getting the 6.2% decline in real terms. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying, we need to wait for the annual report to see the results of what's happened in that sub-program, but it's not encouraging when the precise weakness that we identified last year is in fact getting a 6.3% real decline.
They want to express that in a conclusion.
Yeah.
Just flag it. I have recognized your hand on Oshibambu, but let's just hear from Scott.
Thank you. It looks like it's a decrease, but in effect it's not, because additional funds have been shifted onto the overall piece of the penny investment budget. So it looks like there's been a substantial decrease, but in fact it's been topped up internally when we are reviewing the budget structure.
I hear what you're saying, but I just see a blank look from yourself, Honourable Hilder, so it doesn't reassure me.
No, I understand the point that Ms. Goff made. It's explained in the reports. There was an exchange-based problem. But the point made is that even if the nominal amount stayed the same, what we need is an actual real increase if we want to expand capacity. Because the point was made last year, the capacity at the moment is quite weak on this front. So what we want to see is a real increase so that we can expand capacity.
So we leave that just for the moment. I mean, I'm really sure you'll have the opportunity in the conclusion. Uncle Shabandu?
I don't want to involve this editorial process. Certain sentences and everything else. But once you have a substantial input on the whole budget in terms of what our observations and what we propose should be way forward. Like, I thought maybe we could do that once you are finished. We could talk in between. I think it lose direction. Just I think I'm not sure that we need to launch a book there at 6 o'clock.
And I know you want to be here when we get to the end.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope you'll certainly, before you leave, you'll give us these points.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so as soon as you tag in, put your hand up. All right. But at the same time, what is good for us is that we do have written comments here on the DA on all builders.
Yeah.
So, nine. We're not reading it word for word. It's very clear there, I think you've seen before. I want to get there to the end of this before 25. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. I'd like us to, if possible, try to keep our comments to a minimum at this point, but please go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to, can I talk about Table 3 now?
Well, is it in here? Is it in here at the moment?
Yeah, but I may need to withdraw it because of the comment that Ms. Scholz just made. That 5.5% increase for compensation of employees, is that simply a cost of living increase, or is that an increase in the total number of staff?
Thank you, Chair. I have to get the exact figures. We have had an increase in staff in our Senate administration, in the Industrial Development Division, as well as in the CCRD. We've had staff increase in those areas, but I would be able to give you the exact breakdown in terms of the new post versus the
Thank you very much.
So you'll keep that on hold?
Yeah.
Okay, we then go to industrial.
regional development thing. Some of the things is not, it's stating a few facts there, what it is, it, etc. Then you're going to the program budget increasing, why was increasing, the National Oncology Institute, for example, the committee has raised the concern that Lamita requires extensive capital injection to ensure that the maintained state of the art, that the maintained state of the art equipment, as it played a critical role in ensuring South Africa's competitiveness. And it is on there about the NRCS and the expanding mandates, etc. Once the Act becomes effective, it will require further, now we come again, capacitation. Do we see that there? Currently, the NRDS has received 0.29% increase in real terms. 0.30%. Industrial development, 723 million, clothing and textiles, etc. In 2013, the sector had contributed approximately 12.4 billion to the country's GDP. And I think the important point here, and provided work, 108 workers, or 9.1% of the non-agricultural employment rate. You know, that is a significant number. Consumer and corporate, we have discussed that. Incentive Development Administration. Incentive and Development, you'll see here, and what it does, and so on, and the size of its budget, 5.5 billion. The program's budget is the second fastest growing program during the previous financial year, due to MSEC. And MSEC proves to its worth since its establishment. The Ed Committee on that, page 13. You go on to that with reference to one of the program's core budget drivers, the new special economic zones. Now, it's quite clear that the allocation of resources has to take into account the time lag. When we say we're establishing them, they're not going to come about in 2 months or 3 months. You know, they're rolling out. So you obviously don't need all money in the first year, but certainly in the first after year, probably in second. 450, and this will increase to 1.13 billion, etc. The investments in centers replace the attendance to industrial development. I think you should remember that when you look back at the comparison. The reason for the great figures of pie chart is to show some of the questions that have been raised in the past have been, it says, something about incentives and administration or something. It says incentive development on page 9 and administration. And the question that was raised, and often raised, well, how much are you actually giving to administration? Or is it going to be 20% of that program for administration? So we, you know, as this has been raised repeatedly, we broke it down to show that the compensation to employees is 3% of that, 2.9. So, you know, one could argue that that's quite an efficient allocation there, the use of it, especially if we begin to learn how effective it may be. Taking investment, one we have discussed.
There's a note there just above that pie chart saying awaiting clarification from the DPI on the purpose of that many communities. Can we get that clarification now?
Yes, it's just the industrial development zones. Let me see if I've got anything in that that may assist one. That's to do with the EPZ.
I think there's announced for the transitional arrangements from IBZ into EPZ, and so the budget would still have been allocated for existing undesigned. But if we can, my apologies, Chair, I didn't get this, this
yes.
point. I think I've overlooked it. So I will get that
yes.
in the morning.
All right. Because, I mean, you just make a note of it there. You see these things. Then we move to 14. Okay, we've done that. And then we go to the bottom of the page, the impact of industrial action on the economy. So, we just take this impact. Remember the first paragraph, the bottom, the acknowledge that the industrial action doesn't have an impact. And that short the period of industrial action would limit the negative impact on the industrial economy. The response for the railroad would be the IGC government and the Industry Committee. DCI is not being replaced, and that was clearly under labour. And then he goes to the supply of affordable electricity. That's the on the page, and what you know, as it stands, James, I'm just looking at committee and science, but the DCR's goal in ensuring
limiting the potentially negative impact on the economy. Okay. And then I think that we need to ensure that what we are doing, for example, is what's our position on this particular? When one does comment on it, we may sometimes, because sometimes I also put this in and interpret from the tapes for one thing and another what happens. And in the end, what I thought of doing, and then we can debate it, is where you take limiting. You've got that word limiting, okay? And you've got insuring. If we just went straight on to ensuring limiting the potential negative impact, we have a long and involved issue, probably a paragraph, which really jumps into the whole realm and explores the whole labour scenario in the country and really speculated far too much. And probably that may have been myself rather than any member of the committee. So when it was pointed out by staff, we alerted it to this. Anyone may have seen an earlier copy, I should set up, but I see it's actually left as is. Is that right? Right. 5.2, the supply of affordable electricity to the manufacturing sector. Supply of that has been a competitive advantage for many years. I don't think we can, it's erratic electricity supply. I think it's unreliable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unreliable. Okay. And, the cost, I also think the cost should have been brought in as well. Increasing, well, you said it's tariffs. Then it goes on to NIFTA, etc. Better than Jay Zuma in the last part there, which is, 15.2. It simply makes a reference to what he had said about energy and the charges, etc. The reality is that the committee is saying, I've seen your hand, Honourable Gil Lewis, that no matter which way you swing them, the electricity charges, etc., are one of the major constraints to manufacturing. That's the reality. Do you see that? Right, okay. Did you have your hand up on that issue, Honourable Hill Lewis?
On 5.2, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm recognising
that. The last sentence is a little bit lost I didn't read clearly enough the focus on municipal surcharges. I see it is there in the last sentence, but perhaps we could just advance it slightly. But also just to bring in the point that we've got to have a re-look at the way that local government is funded. The funding model is the core problem, because local governments are not financially sustainable without electricity surcharges, but neither is industrialization sustainable with electricity surcharges. So we've got a real rock and a hard place there, and we have to look at that model very seriously.
Again, that is someone else's mandate, but we can allude to the point that we've just indicated that these municipal electricity charges are an issue. Here they are. Regulatory bodies have been referred to, industrial development, threat. Special economic zones, we've commented again on that, and we keep on referring to that. We've already had that point. The small business development, the statements of fact, black industrialists. And I think Vladimir said, informed the committee that under the auspices of the Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry, a task team would be established to develop a framework for the promotion of black industrialists. Now, I really think we do welcome that idea, that finally something may be done there. And then the mineral beneficiation again here. This is something that was raised as well by yourself, Honourable Shirambu, on the issue of the platinum, the count of trust, and the this and that part here. You may wish to comment on that afterwards once you make these statements here, okay? Local procurement, trade agreements and tariffs, and then conclusion. Now, you handed out to you were two pages of conclusion, okay? Now, you see what was actually handed out. I've been doing so much cleaning. What was actually handed out? Let me have a look. There's one thing I would like now to change, having read it myself. This is a lot, by the way. Where does this come from? Partly from what the Secretariat now has prepared and the AMC has added to it. And certainly this particular point needs to be reviewed. 6.6. To finish off that, you can speak to that, to Honourable Salk. Where is the stock that you want to come in? 6.6. Where is it? 6.6.
A resolution of this constraint requires effective coordination among development departments to develop cohesive policies in support of industrialization.
But you asked it to be removed from the that plan. And you said that you wanted to see the coordination.
The changes we want to make at the ANC is that the resolution of the constraints required effective coordination for support. The rest of the other personnel be removed.
The other, I also got another point from the ANC, and that is here, and I'll just read it, from 6.9, at the end of 6.9, part of the fact that the English are speaking up, and this is of the view that South Africa it was meant to take account, it was meant, I'm not saying it does, to take account of some of the issues that were raised around the trade negotiations, the tariffs, the transfer prices, all of these issues. And really it does seem to be too generalized the way it's being captured here. I'm not saying you said that, you could not. Now when you look at that, you may feel, well, look, leave that out, you'll put the own. I'm just making comments on record. So this is not, I want to make it clear to committee, this was not given to me by Longer Bishop. This one has been captured. Okay. Right. We're at the end now for the moment, and I'm going to give the first opportunity to the EFF to speak due to time constraints. They should come back to all of us. Honourable Shivambu.
Thanks, Chair. Just want to make some broad reflections on this document where it is read. I don't, yes, because I don't know why this the whole radical economic transformation and everything else, because what is there is not like it represents anything different from what was happening before. I don't know why it's being thrown in the semantics which do not help even locate this proper in terms of the issues. And the second point is, I don't know why the ANC is removing the part of the sentence in 6.6 which says that the resolution of this requires effective coordination among the relevant departments to develop the cohesive policies in support of decentralization. I do not know why that is being done, because I think it's supposed to be, that is what's supposed to happen. And not only with regards to electricity and energy, but importantly with regards to implementation and rollout of industrial policy. We made an example of the Recycling Economic Development Initiative for South Africa, REDDITA, that it's supposed to be an industrial development program, but it's coordinated under environmental affairs. And there's no progress, there's money which is being levied from people who import tires and everything else, and there isn't a coherent strategy that DPI can account on with regards to what's happening with regards to that. We ask the DDG on a set of boxes for digital migration. They said it's on the radar. And there's no concrete detail of where the set of boxes going to come from when we do digital migration. And it's not only that. There are so many other activities, industrial activities that are going to be engaged in by various components of government. And there isn't a clearly defined industrial strategy that we can track as a committee to say that isn't this presenting an opportunity for industrial development in this particular sector. So we need to deal with that areas where there's potential for industrialization, we should note those in terms of what we need to do. The third issue is the belief in the ANC, the ministers have repeated itself, that you can beneficiate minerals within the current legislative framework. It's not possible. Within the current policy and legislative framework, it's not possible. It's I think the reason why there's such a belief is because government has not paid much attention to a very huge phenomenon of transfer pricing, of the base regimes and profit shifting. It really to which goes to most possibly 25% of the GDP, because majority of these natural resources companies, they make lots of money by selling goods and the things that they produce to themselves at far much lower prices than they would sell in South Africa. And then when things have to be bought in South Africa for industrial purposes, these import parity prices. They have to go to court and for a very long time about steel and iron ore and all these other things and be involved in that, because there is no proper narrative given in terms of how do you deal with that. Now the idea that we negotiate for the black prices to come down, and platinum which belongs to South Africa and can't beneficiate it. Already the platinum is good for sales, so that people can give you money to go buy platinum, won't get it anyway. It's not all this for tax free. And we want to beneficiate it, and that is what those are some of the things that we must be able to look into. And it's not an ideological issue, it's just basic logic. In terms of what we need to deal with moving forward. And then the other issue which must be dealt with, because there is a commitment from the manufacturer of the ANC and from the State of Nation Address on 75% local procurement of goods and services. Yes, it's there, and I think it must be appreciated to say that the local retailers are not local producers. If we buy things in P&P and ShopRite, we must not say those are local producers. It's because the biggest buyer of food too. Is that food coming from local producers? Maybe of textile as well. Is that textile produced locally? So we must be able to track that. And you may need to, in support of industrial policy as well, then deal with some of the legislative issues to say this is what should by law happen. For schools, for hospitals, for, and it can take us some way in terms of how we want to build capacity to locally produce goods and services. I think that there must be legislative interventions to guide that. And obviously, if indeed the trade agreement which the minister says that we have signed, it's called the, what is it called? The Agreement on Trade Related Investment Measures, which doesn't compel government what to buy, where to buy from, and everything. Government can pass, it's within. That is one of the issues that I want to raise. And then the other issue is the National Development Plan says that the contribution of manufacturing to the South African economy in 2010 I think was 12%, but that will decline or should decline to 9.6% by 2030. And the central theme in the industrial policy is that we should expand the manufacturing sector. And these are the inconsistencies that we constantly say apply with regards to industrial policy action plan and the NDP. I don't know why everyone is worshiping the NDP. Like, and even when there is no concrete reference to the NDP, once in a while, supporting the NDP, NDP. All this vision is based on the NDP, the vision of the NDP, but the details of it are not supportive of the expansion of the manufacturing sector. There are other sectors that are being prioritized, even the job drivers. We spoke about it in the last quarter meeting. The areas that are identified as job drivers is not industrial expansion in a way that I have speaks about. And I don't know. There must be acknowledgement, the robustness to acknowledge that such is not the case. And the last issue is our relationship to the trade agreements that we have. I see there in 6.9 that the faith, it's faith again, I mean, that the industrialization will be implemented within the boundaries of the internet. Okay, international obligations and the trade agreement. I don't know. I honestly do not know. And this is, I mean, like, if we watch industrial, I can go, maybe the committee must just that one day to pay a detailed attention to the late industrializers, the countries that caught up in terms of industrialization, that industrialized both Second World War. And check what mechanisms did they use. They were not bound by international trade agreements. They were extremely aggressive. They disrespected anything, including intellectual property and everything. And something was not going to go away if it didn't go very aggressive. With the protection of the state to deal with its expansion. There must be a thorough analysis of how did the countries that have caught up industrialize and within which environments they exist in. Can South Africa successfully industrialize within the trade agreements that it currently has with the poorer brothers, with the poorer brothers which were accepting almost everything. I mean, like, all goods and services that come from the sea. And that's what we deal with. There's no day, South African will not use an import product or service or good or food. Everything is brought from the sea. There must be an entire investigation on how do we substitute strategically some of the consumer goods and services that are used on a daily basis. And that can be a proper seed for sustainable industrial expansion that will create sustainable jobs and expand the economy in a real sense, not expand the economy because commodity prices have increased. It's still a common issue that we wanted to respond. But right, the perspective, yes.
We can just at the outset reassure you, I think I've said this the last time in EG49. Transfer pricing is something that must be kept. There's no debate about that. Okay? That will be. The other issue is the import parity one. One's only got to look at steel and this and that. There's no disagreement on that one policy, and so one needs to get back there. The fact that the president said 75% of government support, you know. Government departments will have to buy 75% of the equity on local products. I mean, that can be expanded with the committee reiterating or emphasizing. Yes, but make sure local is local.
Mm.
You know, don't think there's a problem. Looking at the ANC as our savings thing, looking at the DA as our savings thing, because I see this coming out from what has been said by ANC, by the minister, by others. The other issue, well, let me leave the MEP one alone for a while. Let me come to the next issue. The bilateral, the relationship with trade agreements. We have emphasized, perhaps not strongly enough here, that like most countries of the world, South Africa recognizes that first generation bilaterals have had their day, they sell our day, is overdue. They say. It's not a new thing, it's not a revolutionary issue, and that we are all moving towards, or most countries, the majority, are moving towards second generation bilaterals. That's South Africa's position, that is why there's the formulation, the development of the promotion of investment act. It hasn't, you know, it's not here, but we've been told that it's coming on its way. But second generation bilaterals are favored by the West, by the East, by whatever ideology you want to talk about. Because every country is saying we need to protect our forests. You know, that's not a revolutionary issue there. One of the things which you have been emphasized by yourself and others is that we haven't effectively spelled out the job classes in IPAC. They have been there. In fact, at one stage you mentioned that yourself, Honorable Owens, you know, we must do it. Now, if we come to the issue of the NDP, right, and then about, NDP saying a reduction in manufacturing, if you like, in the future. The thing is that, indeed, the government has made it clear that this is a document and a vision of the government, you know, the ruling party which is running the government, right? So we know that. On the other hand, the DEI itself, through IPAC and others, are always pointing out even publicly that they need to ensure that what has been said in the NDP does not constrain industrial policy and industrial development, per se. So let me say that as a dynamic document, well, perhaps I shouldn't be saying that it is a dynamic document, that's right, but then there is this ongoing discussion about it. And you will hear at some point in debates that people, other parties have said, well, the ANC doesn't even want to mention NDP, and is it their policy or not? So that's been said in debates, and in the next breath, they'll say what you are saying. So there's points for again. So I don't want to, I think that that you'll bring into your debate, that particular point, if I may put it that way. Because the reality is, the government policy is, you know, this is vision, and at the same time, we've got IPAP as well. And perhaps in your debate then, and input, you'll be able to re-emphasize that. But the other issues here, there's no problem, it's all come up. You see, it's a lot new issue in others. In fact, it underpins the point that have already been made, as in FOMA, 75%, you know. But when it comes to this conclusion here, I can just point out under number 6. I think that's the one you mentioned, Robin, number 6. The issue then really is that it was all the English and everything else. It's not a policy issue per se. It's how it is expressed. You see, he's saying that the resolution of the constraints already mentioned, no one's disagreeing with that, requires effective coordination. Then you're saying relevant departments, etc. In many ways, it's all departments. In every sphere of government, it's all departments. And I think I've asked the ANC, but it was already expressed to me that the problem is it's not effectively spelled out. The same way you pointed out that 6-9 is not effectively spelled out. Where's the transfer pricing? Where's what is it? It's not an effective point. You follow. So it's more that than anything else. But you may find tomorrow that there's been a rejigging of those two clauses in that regard. So I'll leave it at that for the moment. Okay, when it comes to the radical issue, you see the way I looked at this now here myself. 20 years on, it does call for bold new steps. Okay, it does. Because the fact of the matter is we've got poverty here and we've got to eliminate it. No one's still going to disagree with that. We've got to eliminate unemployment. We've got to do that. There's a party that will disagree. We've got to reduce inequality. Maybe there's some parties who don't want inequality reduced. I don't know. Now, we're going to do all of that. It does call for radical economic transformation. Do you think it can be done without radical economic transformation, Honourable Shivambu? Do you think it can? See, these things, to substantially reduce inequality, to eliminate this and that, cannot be done without radical. We're not saying anything. We say it calls for, it demands. Does it demand radical transformation or not?
The point of raising is that this calls for radical economic transformation, but what is presented here is not radical economic transformation, not a decisive departure from what was.
See, that's what you
Yeah, that is what I'm arguing. This is not a decisive departure from what was there. Has always been everything. It looks like, because it's something that was there before 2008 and all those that before election. That is the point of it. And then let's all those observations, obviously, we will not answer it to
you.
You're
saying it calls for it.
Yeah. And then
you think that it does call for it. You may not agree on that.
We don't agree with the budget. It must be noted that, and then we'll write the submission and we'll debate it. So the committee will look at our policy that made an agreement to launch a book of the year.
So, Honourable Charlie, I think it'll enable you to hear what we are saying, because we're not taking it to the city now. Coming in tomorrow morning, but we need your input by 8. Remember, what time is it going to be? 8.
That's right, yeah.
If you just listen to what the agency is saying now, and then we may just keep on the side.
I thought you had responded to it.
No. I just wanted to ask that you say it calls for that.
Yes.
And there was no disagreement that it calls for that.
the point that they said that the kilowatt heat is a different cost. The difference is not that we don't need radical transformation, but that the budget doesn't give us radical transformation. So I want them to get clear what it is that we need to agree to.
There's not too much emphasis, even though it is pointed out. So it's more semantic. The right to say that ultimately that is comfortable. But in essence, there isn't much, we are not far from each other in terms of what they are saying and what is considered. But what I wanted to raise myself is to make a proposal on the three areas that the TI has mandate on to the second bullet, that in terms of participation in the space you want to create, if we can also include you, because there is a general acceptance by society here that the young people have been given a role. Up to now, and I think if part of what we are saying is our mandate is going to be addressing that sector, I think we will be doing justice to the country and to the future of those who come to us. So just to the bullet today, broadening participation, especially by Black South Africans, women and youth in the economy.
Yeah. Thanks. I'm glad Honourable Siobhan Bukele put he was going all to Tsar at 6, because I know that they opened early on a Thursday. Because we know we're revolutionaries frequent. But Chair, I'm concerned about that. This committee, like many others that I've seen, are, and it's a pity that Honourable Shivant is leaving at this point, but we're getting bogged down in this fight for who can own the word radical transformation. And everything's radical, 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 radical. And who can be more radical than the other? And a committee like this doesn't require radical anything. It requires logical. And it requires, how do we logically deal with the problems before us? And how do we logically address the issues of industrialization, the issues of implementing IPEP, the issues of implementing the NDP? There's nothing radical about that. It has everything to do with logic. When these, comments of it's not radical enough, it's easy to say that and not put anything else on the table. So I would just like us just to caution when these words of radical are produced, and then we need to get into a competition between political parties as to who's more revolutionary than the other. So I just ask Chair that we caution against such tendencies, for lack of a better word, and we focus on what is logically important for us to deal with the problem that faces this committee and face the need to drive job creation and investment.
Thank you very much, Honourable Honourable Albert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our party has been accused that we are counter-revolutionary, but we support much of what has been said here. So perhaps that word sort of radical would be called progressive. We are applying Keynesian style economic policies here. I would like to make a point on the challenges that we have. I've seen that most of them have been dealt with in the conclusion, but for one, that is one that I find quite important that I think deserves mention, is the regulatory body. The challenge with regards to regulatory bodies, and I might miss it, but I don't see it. So if we can make a mention to that as well, because that obviously plays a large role in facilitating business. Thank you.
I know that others will comment on this in tomorrow when we begin to adopt this, the report decide whether or not to adopt the committee report. This is the committee report we would be adopting. We're not adopting the budget. I mean, we must be very cautious on that. But the thing is that I often ask myself, is elimination of policies, is this business as usual, or does it call for a radical change? Yeah. We're not talking about any parties now. We can go to the most conservative party in the country. They all believe the elimination of poverty, go to a multilateral also meeting, calls for radical transformation, and you think, gosh, that's got to be a communist speaking or socialist. Turns out to be the most conservative force of party in the country speaking. So it's issue of poverty. It's not easy to eliminate poverty. Does anyone here think it's going to progress a policy that will eliminate poverty? If they do, then we need to be listening on how that will happen. You see? So, on the logical and logical tip, I think the Constitution is incredibly logical. Have we eliminated poverty? Have we made a dent in poverty? You see, those are the issues. And I think no one is saying here that this is radical transformation. Because I think one needs to look at the sentence. It's saying if you want to do these things, it calls for that. But then it's up to members and parties to decide whether the reasons are. But surely we can't disagree that getting rid of poverty is not a radical conflict. It is. It hasn't yet been done over decades, over generations, over centuries. And you go to the Bible, go to anything, go back to the Etruscans, way before the Bible. They had poverty. Before Christ. Still here. And you want to tell me there hasn't been some different policies around that. It is a radical thing to get rid of poverty. We're not talking about revolution. Talking about the kind of thing. So I would just ask members, look, I'm sure that parties will all think about it, the ANC, other parties, and say, well, maybe we can do this, do that, do the next thing. So let's put our heads together in the evening and take a rain check on things in the morning. Are we going to sit this person good? Races. And look on that face. I've got the DA's input. In writing. I don't have the EMS, but they've given a commitment. I don't know if you want to put something in writing on the board.
Madam Chair, yeah, I'll make some submissions by email tonight. Mm-hmm.
Lock hand the Honourable Bill Lewis.
Actually, these recommendations that we've handed in, will we only get to discuss these tomorrow morning?
Oh, no, we are going to discuss them. You know, making sure that they're not going to be additional.
No, that's fine. Just, okay.
Let's get them. Where are they? They're here. Has everyone got them?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, we have discussed some of them.
Yeah, we have.
And four already is debatable, depends on the response, am I right? You're waiting for the response from DTR before you move on it. Five. Who wants to talk on it from the VA?
No, sure, we've discussed all the points 1 through 7.
No, but I'm saying which one are you still going with?
No, the recommendations below.
Alright, so you have to go to the recommendation. The Consumer and Corporate Regulation Division adaptation needs to be reconsidered. Well, as we just said, we are going to say that. It does need to be reviewed. We're not saying now, but we're saying in the second.
So the second bulletin.
I suppose that does because the areas where we all of us here agree, that's not the problem. You know what people say earlier on about the problem. I do.
in South Africa to reach almost every corner of the world, and we can only do so if we capacitate our institutions to do that, perform to the better, rather than to weaken their capacity. So we are in agreement. And I hope that been taken care of, just that sometimes we might not have used the same words as indicated, but I thought they have. But in any case, because we must try and accommodate everybody, if there's a strong feeling that a specific item is not properly dealt with, I think we must allow them to put it, but not at everything or not at everything.
No, thank you, Honourable Carly. There is just one thing that Chair, we need to just draw Honourable Members' attention to. That's everyone. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bullets at the bottom. All right? And then we're looking at 1, 2, 3, and we're looking at 4. And the reason for that is a very simple one. It says here, the department needs to take up the matter of municipal surcharges by municipalities. And the committee should give further attention to this matter as well. The reality of this is that that's not an executive function of the DDI. Okay? So it would go across to the Office of Government. You know, we are local government form under. Now, what the DA can do in this regard is that it has been this and that department will take it there. And from
is there anything wrong as a committee to take up an issue that has got nothing to do with us but not impact on the general area of work like this one? It came into the committee because DTI has been.
I think what you just stop you right here. I think there's been a misunderstanding.
We're not saying it shouldn't be in the report. We're saying we can't recommend it to be in the conclusion. Can't even get a recommendation. No, as a recommendation.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. As a recommendation, the executive authority is someone else. Within our conclusions, we can refer to.
Yes, but what you're saying is that they must go and raise it somewhere.
Yes, as a recommendation.
No, but we as a committee,
right.
As a committee, we can have it in our report. We know the minister must go and interact with his counterpart. We're talking about coordination earlier. You will go and talk to his counterpart to address this matter because it has a bearing on the economic development.
That we understand.
Yes, so it's us as a committee.
But it is not just the us that makes the recommendation.
But
I think I must be very clear. We will not make it as a recommendation, Honourable Members, because the executive authority is elsewhere. It will be in our report.
Which goes where?
In the conclusion.
Yes, of our report.
But not as a recommendation.
No. Let's revise that report. Let's discuss that later when we see the final report. Because we have been debating something which is not relevant. It will be set out in the report.
If I can make it clear, this is part of the B-R-R process. As part of the B-R-R process, our recommendations are confined to executive function there. But we can make a lot of other points under conclusion in our report. In our report. But when it comes to this one here, it comes in not as a recommendation. That's what I'm trying to point out. It is there. And the Honourable Hillinghurst has done these reports before in a fourth term. He's aware that there are certain things we can say in the conclusion, but we can't put it in a recommendation. And that's part of the technicalities of the BRRR. Mm-hmm. So,
that's the... it's better to discuss this in the report tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And if we feel something is not covered there, we raise it at the meeting tomorrow.
Yeah.
But for now, I think...
Yeah.
We will agree with what you are doing. That's understanding. We will agree to it.
Honourable Mrs. V. BRRR, the budget, we're in that process right now, the one that we will all of us found ourselves in
during induction, the budget review recommendation. It's a new thing, it's a new piece of legislation. When I say new, it's not brand new. The legislation is what, 5 years old now? You know, the previous 5 years it was passed and adopted. And we've only learned to do it properly, I'd say, a year ago. It took us 4 years to do it properly. Only last year did we do it properly. I think anyone would agree on that, properly. And now we've learned these things, that what you put here, what don't you. It's still, that sort of thing can be discussed when we discuss it in another forum, as to why that sort of thing can't be, you know, here and why not. But as we do the report itself, we are restricted to those terms of reference. Can I put it that way? That thing can be debated under a policy forum, but not here. We've learned that to our own problems when we've had to rewrite reports. So now we've tripped up here, haven't we? So it's going to be in. It's going to be in, rest assured. It's an important point that's been made throughout the report. But you want to make it as a final statement, it'll go into conclusion. Honourable members?
You know, last year, this committee held a colloquium on administered prices with ESCOM and Transnet.
Yeah.
Neither of those things fall under the executive mandate of ETI, but we made massive progress. With specific Transnet, not so much progress with ESCOM, but we made significant progress in an area that's not a function of ETI, but impacts so fundamentally on ETI's program of work that we can't ignore it. And so I really think we should become a little bit more bold with the recommendations that we make, because the point I've been trying to drive home as often as possible is that so much of what this department does depends on the work of other departments. And if we can't get those other departments to start understanding what their role is in terms of IPAP, then IPAP can't succeed. So we really must get a little bit more bold about the recommendations that we make to the minister. That's fine. We can discuss it tomorrow, but not.
Yeah. That colloquium report will be revised, by the way. Remember, three times of ATC. It hasn't been in the House, per se. It is a technical process we are undertaking. The colloquium and all the other reports and the pieces of legislation were not budgets. Money bill is dealt with even under a certificate section in the Constitution. So what we can deal with in certain things is different to what we can deal with under other sections of legislation. That's a constitutional imperative, you see? So we can consider, amending the Constitution, but until that's done, we have certain terms of reference. So, Honourable Hill Lewis, you're quite right. We dealt with yield, admin prices, all of that. And we will be, in the report, and it'll go into the House. But when it comes to the budget, the recommendations, we are reviewing the budget that we've just received, our own budget. And it gives us the opportunity now to take a decision on where we can recommend for an increase or a decrease. Otherwise it'll go to a conclusion. We've already taken a position that we're not asking for an increase in the current budget right now. We are asking, or we want to ask for, reviews, recommendations in the outer years. Is that not correct? But not in this budget that is sitting for us here, the current expenditure, you see. So we're going to make comments on the others, and we don't even make that decision, by the way, as a committee. Make a recommendation, and it's then, the appropriations and finance have already taken a decision on the global aggregate. It's already done that. It can't exceed this amount, the whole budget. And whatever you do, we must try and factor it into your own budget, not someone else's budget. So, if that is the case, our own view, our hope as a committee is to say, we
will wait, we will look at the after years, so not this budget, but the next one and the next one. And those will be our recommendations on the budget itself. But our conclusions will talk to all of these impediments that are here and the constraint. Honourable Thorpe.
Because I'm like very clear and understanding. We are onward covering the issue of energy. And we indicated that the Deputy Minister will be establishing an interministerial committee to see how best are we going to address this particular challenge, which is having an effect on industrialization. What is the difference between energy and water? Together with municipalities, when it comes also to that particular matter.
We're not commenting on it in recommendations on the board. No. We are welcoming it.
Yes.
But we're not putting it in the recommendations, you see.
I was really saying, maybe we should also be able to put it together. This is a problem of supply of energy. Because even the presentation which was done by DTI, it was also highlighting water as one of the challenges, including how municipalities are busy.
Exactly, the billing.
The billing system. Maybe we should be able to find a way how to put it in the report.
I think that what Honourable Amzali was also saying, that what's seen here, a lot of it, you made a broad statement, Honourable Amzali, that largely speaking, there's no disagreement. It's already been discussed. It's an agreement. All that is debate about the technicality, where should it be? That's all. We're not talking about the policy. Yourself now, Mr. Nandu, you're the parliamentary advisor. Because we don't have all the comments in, number one. Number two, they haven't been consolidated. You know, the report itself. You know, we've got to get this consolidated. You've got to have a clean report. We're saying we start at 8:30, that's not the problem. But then we start with the second item first. So that we make sure we've got a clean report in front of us. Now, what that means, it may mean, I want to make sure we're all here, and I did say every second Friday will be a long Friday, if you remember. And this is a long Friday, in inverted commas. We really hope, looking at every member here, that that was taken seriously. And we are all here. I'm looking at the DA as well. I'm looking at the Freedom Front. I think it's important. You've made a lot of comments here. You've got a lot of input here. Please be here for the budget, which is not going to be first tomorrow. It's going to be second, the second item. Honourable Tani.
I don't know. I might be out of order. I just see that we've made a lot of comments and everything. And we are saying we should start at 8. Wouldn't it be reasonable to give the staff enough time to do the right and that we start at 9 instead? Because
I'm just thinking. I think we're not using it the first time. We have some staff, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Lewis doesn't have to be here. We have two commitments to that country. So Mr. Mkiza will be here. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Herman will be in his office. Remember, I know that we're one of the few committees that has two secretaries, but perhaps it's not, it's the first time ever. It hasn't happened before. And we're lucky, we're very fortunate. So that means, and I mean, members who've been on this committee before will know, we would have had to wait. We don't have to wait now. We've got two secretaries. So the one secretary will be here, we'll start all. Mr. Hurley won't be here. The researcher will be here. Isn't that correct? Right. So we will have staff here to get started. And we won't start with the budget first. We'll start with the other issues first. Would that not be acceptable to members? Right. Okay. On that basis, then we start at the budget second. But I've just said something that I think is important. And also apply to you, Ms. Nayu, just here. If we find, and I'm hoping we find, that Mr. Hermans is ready for us at 10 o'clock or 9:30, you're probably that he's ready, he's got everything printed at that time, then we will do ITAC and SEC afterwards. If you follow, we'll go into the budget. So, is that all right, Ms. Nayu? Yes. So the flights from one thing and another. Is that all right, Ms. Hurley? Enough time. Right, okay. So I don't think we have a problem. Let's get together at 8:30 and we'll start with the trade and investment and exports. Okay. Fine. Thank you very much. Remember the we're actually finished this earlier than we planned. There's no need reason to belabor the point. The meeting is adjourned for tomorrow morning, 8:30 in what room? M514. I hope all of us know where that is. It's Mark's building, of course, but it's at the far end. Thanks. Okay.
I
would
call for a group of Thank you.
Thank you.